Dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for what I think of as an intelligence briefing on the war for the free world. A place where some serious intelligence briefing is in order is Korea. At the moment, thanks in part to some astonishing developments in the past 24 hours in which the South Korean government has made representations of an interest on the part of the North Korean dictator, Kim Jong-un, to meet with President Trump, and President Trump has accepted an invitation for a summit sometime between now and May, we're told, to discuss this astonishing development and whether there is likely to be anything good coming of it. Lawrence Peck has a Juris Doctor degree from Loyola Law School. He is also an advisor to the indispensable North Korea Freedom Coalition. He has worked in South Korea. He has extensive networks there and has been monitoring closely, among other things, what the North Koreans have been doing in our own country, unbeknownst to most of us, to conduct influence operations and who knows what all else. To get a sense of what this so-called breakthrough might actually mean on the ground and for us, I'm delighted to welcome back Lawrence Peck. Lawrence, good to have you. Thanks so much for taking the time.
Pleasure to be with you again.
So, in sort of the broadest of outlines, remind us what this North Korean regime has been and, as far as we can tell, still is when it comes to its attitude towards the United States and, for that matter, towards South Korea. Does this suggest, given the pattern of, well, decades now, several generations of the Kim dynasty, a certain behavior that might make us a little suspicious about what's afoot at the moment?
Well, yes, in terms of their basic view of us, which really hasn't much changed since we prevented them from dominating the entire Korean Peninsula during the Korean War, has been that we are their sworn enemy, which they just continue to repeat in their media as recently as just hours ago. And they consider us their sworn enemy because we stand in the way of their primary goal, which is, as I alluded to, the communization of the domination, otherwise, of the entire Korean peninsula. They use their own expressions on a daily basis to express their views towards us. For example, the quaint expression, they cannot live under the same sky with us, the U.S. imperialists. And of course, they've been expressing that hostility and vengeance towards us in various ways down through the decades, up to and including the murder of Americans, the seizure of Americans on the high seas, the counterfeiting of U.S. currency, and in a myriad of other ways.
Let me just make sure I'm clear about something you just said, Lawrence Peck, that a few hours ago, as we're speaking, would be after President Trump has accepted this idea of sitting down with Kim Jong-un. Are you telling me that the North Korean propaganda operations are still pumping out virulently anti-American rhetoric and essentially instructions to their people?
Yeah, well, yes, certainly that hasn't changed too much. I mean, you might say, let's say, over the past couple of hours, it hasn't been quite as vitriolic as it has, let's say, over 2 days ago. But certainly, for example, on the day that they had spoken to the South Koreans and apparently given this message to President Trump, to the South Koreans, when they were meeting in Pyongyang with a high-level South Korean delegation, on that very day, they were printing editorials in the official organ of the ruling Korean Workers' Party, Nodong Shimun, that they indicating that they would never give up their nuclear weapons at that point. And that was, in an authoritative source.
knowing what you do of these guys, would you say that, well, that just could be that they hadn't gotten the word that this is moving so rapidly that they were operating on previous guidance, not current ones? Or is this evidence of bad faith on the part of the North Koreans, do you think?
Well, I think we can look at something a little more concrete than their propaganda in terms of perhaps what their true intentions are, which is the fact that just a couple of days ago, there was a report in the Telegraph, the Daily Telegraph, that they had ramped up plutonium production at their Yongbyon nuclear plant. Plutonium production, of course, for their nuclear weapons program.
So as we're looking at this meeting, Rocket Man Summit, I call it. What is the likely effect going to be, Lawrence Peck, as you see it, with respect to the legitimacy of this regime, not only internationally, but at home as well? And knowing of the work that you all have been doing at the North Korean Freedom Coalition, my friend Suzanne Schulte, among others, has been a champion of the liberation of the people of North Korea from this horrific regime. Is this likely to make that outcome much less likely, do you think?
Well, that's something that I fear, and I believe that other human rights activists who focus on North Korea would fear, which is that whether wittingly or not, this if a summit does occur, it could serve certainly to perhaps legitimize, so to speak, the regime and perhaps even Kim Jong-un himself, and because it's something that we have seen throughout our history. You may remember after the opening of China, you may remember everyone was running out and buying their Mao tunics. And you may recall that when Gorbachev would come here, all of a sudden Gorby was the rage. So that kind of a euphoria about the North Korean regime, which obviously it doesn't merit as one of the world's most brutal totalitarian dictatorships, might occur. That's certainly a fear.
Let me ask you, Lawrence Peck, finally, quite apart from what this might mean in terms of abandoning those in North Korea yearning for freedom, some might argue, well, that's a small price to pay for actually achieving the denuclearization of the North Korean state and therefore the peninsula, and ending the threat that it has been assiduously developing against this country as well. Just again, if you would put a fine point on it, is it likely, in your estimation, based on what you've seen to date, the history of the Kim dynasty, as well as what you are seeing reported in the North Korean state media, that we will in fact see an end to the kinds of programs in which the regime has invested massively and at the great expense to their people?
Well, first, let me say that even if they were, by some chance, and I don't believe that they would be eventually willing to give up entirely their nuclear program, but let's just assume for the sake of argument that they were, of course, that doesn't end in itself. That would end, obviously, the nuclear threat, but there are a whole range of other threats which the North opposes through the proliferation of other kinds of WMDs, whether they be the chemical weapons, which, as you know from the recent stories they've been providing to the Syrians, or whether it be their numerous illicit criminal activities, whether it be hacking into banks around the world or counterfeiting U.S. currency or being an international source of the drug trade. But that's just for the purpose of argument. I actually don't believe, just looking at their whole reason for being and their whole goal in developing their nuclear weapons program in the first place, it seems hard to believe that they would give it up, even if they were to receive a nice batch of goodies and concessions of the type which they can be expected to ask for. They refer to the nuclear program as their treasured sword, for good reason, being that that's something which essentially guarantees the survival of their regime.
Much food for thought here. Lawrence Peck, we will be talking with you, I know, a lot in the weeks ahead running up to this summit. And I appreciate your insights and especially your reporting on what they're saying to their own people, which may be evidence of a double game that President of the United States would be well advised to be attending to. Next up, Ken Timmerman joins us. We'll talk with him about Iran and the threat it poses to all of us right after this.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.